pursuit is relentless. Moment the wolves have been waiting for. Cut off from the herd, now it's two against three. Every attempt to escape provokes a new attack. Desperate mother can only do so much to protect the petrified calf. He must learn to fight or die. Wolves smell blood. Then suddenly, a kick from the calf. In an instant, it's a whole new game. Now mother and calf move as one. They know they must still rejoin the herd. Somewhere ahead in the trees, they can hear the thunder of hooves. Safe at last.
All right. Susan, that's the kind of stuff that makes me cry. Nature. I love it. Yeah, the protective nature of a mother is fierce. And the beautiful thing about that picture, too, is those wolves were probably hunting for their young and willing to take on that bison, that mother bison, to try and feed their young. See, all throughout creation, this display of a mother's heart comes through. And the really cool thing is, Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, check them out when you have time. But Paul says that everything there is to be known about God can be discovered through what he's created. That's how we come to know God. That's why he says there's no excuse. There's no excuse for anyone to say, why should I believe in God? I don't see God. It says actually his divine nature is displayed in his creation. My father calls that divine nature attributes, DNA. My father-in-law, that's something he uses. Pretty cool, huh? Divine nature attributes. And so that's why I love getting out in nature and creation. And now through all these cool ways of filming, I don't know how they filmed that and picked up all the noise and everything in that, we get to experience and see some of that playing out. I get to see it play out in my backyard when I go to collect eggs. Now, my kids are laughing because they're always the ones collecting eggs. But every once in a while, I have to go down there. And the smallest hen in her hen house is the one that likes to sit on the eggs. You know, she even collects. The other ones will come in, lay an egg, and she'll go over and roll it over into our corner. But we have eggs so we can eat them, right? So I feel really bad having to take these eggs out, and the kids, they have to battle this little hen to get her eggs away. It's just in their nature to protect. I remember one time when my oldest, my daughter, was, I don't know, she's probably a year old or younger, and we were sitting, so it was just Star and I and Lydia. She doesn't know I'm telling this story, but don't worry, it kind of involves you. But she was sitting at the end of the table in her little kid chair that kind of clips onto the end of the table. And we're eating our meal, and I'm just chowing away and chewing. It starts across from me, and then on the end of the table is Lydia. And all of a sudden, she starts to choke. Now, the only reason I know that she started to choke was I took a bite of food, I blinked my eyes and opened them, and Star's standing, goes from sitting across from me eating her meal to standing beside the chair, and Lydia's upside down in her hands, and she's slapping her back and knocking the thing. I don't know how she did that. I didn't even have time to get involved in that rescue, because that's the nature of something is threatening the life of my child, and I'm going to do something about it. You know, I would have taken the 30 seconds to be like, should I really pick her up and slap her? And Star just reacted because it's in her nature. So happy Mother's Day. My name's Jeff. I think I know everybody in this room. But welcome this morning. We are celebrating moms this morning. And before we get into kind of the message this morning, I want to just take some time and pray over all of us and over this time. Because I know Mother's Day has so many mixed emotions for all of us. There's different experiences that we've had with our moms. There's different experiences we've had as moms. And I think what the enemy wants to do every Mother's Day is rob the celebration. He wants to rob us celebrating. All of creation expresses this divine nature of God, including you as moms. Okay? We live in a fallen world, however. But God's creative character still shines through, even though the world is broken at this time. Okay? It still comes through you. Okay? So this morning, what God wants to celebrate is that nature is in you because it's in God. And so we want to celebrate that. It's not a time to think about all the times you feel like you've blown it or how you've been hurt by your kids or how you've been hurt by your mom. Okay, we want to take that to the Lord and let him carry that right now, but celebrate now how we can see God through moms, and that nature still, God wants to bring that out in you moving forward. So let's pray. Lord, we just invite you into this time. I thank you for the pictures of you that we get through what you've created, and that's in nature, but Lord, ultimately that's even in how you've made man and woman in your image. And so I pray that we would be able to just relax into hearing you this morning and hearing you come and speak to us, encourage us, and whatever whatever position we're in this morning, maybe it's that we're celebrating a mom. Maybe it's receiving the celebration for us. Maybe it's allowing you, God, to celebrate over us. Lord, we just invite you. We lay down right now. Our guards that might come up on Mother's Day. But we lay them down to you, God, because that's a safe place. So come and just speak to us, reveal more about you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to talk about three of the many attributes of a mom that show us something, teach us something about God and his character. Okay? So It's actually a tragedy and totally the enemy's tactic and strategy to dilute the genders in our culture right now, this dilution of gender, this diminishment of the differences between man and woman. That's a work of the enemy, okay? And we can see it playing out in our culture because uniquely in man and uniquely in woman and uniquely in a father and uniquely in a mother, we discover a fuller picture of God and his character, okay? There are things that a mother brings to this world and brings to relationship and to a family that a man cannot bring, but uniquely display God and his character, okay? And the same for a father, okay? I think that in those situations where, for whatever reason, there isn't able to be a mom present or there isn't able to be a dad present, God comes in because it's his character, and he can still bring that and provide that. But he's designed it to be brought through a mom and a dad, and so that it displays who he is, okay? So uniquely, we're going to be looking at moms this morning. The nurturing heart of a mom, the relational character. A mom is a relational coach, okay? She's meant to be one who teaches you relationship and how to do relationship and how to press into it by doing it, okay? First attribute I want to look at is a mom is an advocate, okay? Definition here I have is a person who pleads for or in behalf of another, an intercessor, okay? Think about a child who's being bullied at school, okay? What does that mom want to do? She wants to go get in the ring with a bully, or she wants to talk to the teacher right now. She wants to talk to the principal of the school. She wants to get President Trump involved. Whatever it's going to take to create an environment that that kid feels safe tomorrow going back to school, she's going to get involved, okay? That's that protective heart, but that's that advocating for a child who's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to feel safe there. An advocate is somebody who stands with and walks with somebody and continues with them even when everybody else kind of leaves them, okay? For example, doctor's appointments, therapy appointments, somebody, maybe a child is struggling with a learning challenge, okay? A mom sweeps in and says, we're going to get every resource available together. And we're going to have a meeting. We're going to figure this out. And if we need to order this special program online and get you going on that, we're going to do that. If I need to spend extra time working with you, I'm going to do that with you. I'm going to find a tutor for you, okay? A mom heads that up because she can't stand to watch her child not have every opportunity available to them. And that's a beautiful thing. That's showing us something about God, okay? I remember my mom, I developed allergies, like hay allergies, you know, kind of this time of year, and then it became kind of year-round, and discovered through my mom pushing into it, taking me to allergy tests and all these different things, that I was allergic to house dust, which sucks because that's kind of in every house you go into. But she went through all this. She got me these, you know, NASA astronaut sheets for my bed or whatever they were, and special pillow and this crazy air filter thing, and she was going to change my environment to help me in my allergies, far beyond what I would have done for myself. I would have just gotten used to having my nose blocked off all the time and been like, whatever. But she's like, no, that's not okay with me because you're my son. We're going to figure this out. That's the level that a mom goes to. And I know there are moms in here specifically that have done that, have gone to those lengths, spent that time. And time is something that moms give so freely. They take the time to work through those things for their kids. I didn't appreciate that fully until I was an adult, those things that she did, even just the working through the allergies with me and my mom. So thank you to you moms who are doing that and have done that. A mom sees a need, and she takes action on it with her kids. Just last week, I was at a soccer game watching one of my sons play soccer, and he was making a run down the field with the ball, and a guy started grabbing his arm, you know, which is really frustrating to watch. And Star had kind of a scratchy, sore throat, so she wasn't doing a lot of yelling. She kept making me yell for her. And she'd be like, tell him to keep going. Tell him to, you know, just to the team before this event happened. Tell them they're doing good, you know, whatever. I'm like, you're doing good. So I was like her bullhorn or whatever. But man, this guy starts grabbing my son's arm as he's making a run for the goal. And she exploded, screaming, he's grabbing his arm! Because she couldn't stand to watch it. It was unfair, right? It's illegal to do that. And it's her son, and this guy's grabbing him. And she came unglued. Thankfully, we were sitting up in the stadium, so we didn't get like a replay of the bison, you know, thing where she's like running, knocking the people off. So I want to share, just kind of tie this first attribute of an advocate to God, and with a story that maybe we wouldn't normally look to see how God advocates for us. Lots of examples of how God has advocated for us in our lives. nurtured us, cared for us, when everyone else has forgotten about us. But what about the story of Hagar? If you guys remember the story of Hagar in the Old Testament, she was the servant of Sarah and Abraham, Sarai and Abram, okay? I'm not used to saying their names that way, so I'm just going to call them Sarah and Abraham because they were renamed that by God later. But Sarah had this servant, Egyptian servant, okay? And Sarah was not bearing children to Abraham. And so she gave her servant to Abraham as a wife. And Hagar became pregnant, okay? But then Hagar kind of looked down on Sarah because she was able to be pregnant and Sarah wasn't. And so Sarah got very upset about that and started mistreating her servant so badly that Hagar went out into the desert and ran away, okay? And while she was in the desert pregnant, probably going to die out there, God came to her. She was sitting at this spring of water, and God came to her. And what God did was advocated for her. He said, why are you out here? I've given you a son. Go back to your master. Okay? And she was so touched and moved by that. And he said, I want you to name your son Ishmael, which means God hears. Okay? God hears. So she was so moved by that. This was her response and the name that she gave God. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing. For she said, truly, here I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore, the well was called Bir Lahai Roei. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. Okay, that well, the name, means well of the living one who sees me. And that's an attribute of a mom. They see their children. Star sees things that I don't have the same eyes. I miss it. She'll see things sometimes. One of our kids needs this. We need to invest in this. And I'm kind of, it's going to take time, you know, and we need to, I don't know when I'm going to get to that. And she's like, I got it, you know, but I'm going to do this. And she'll invest in that because she saw the need. And later I'm like, oh my gosh, Star, I'm so glad you saw that need. I'm so glad that God wired that in you as a mom, okay? God sees, okay? Later, a couple chapters later, she has Ishmael, okay? And then Sarah has a child, Isaac, and kicks Hagar out into the desert again. Abraham loads her up with some food and water. She eats all the food and the water, her and her son, Ishmael, and then she puts her baby down under a bush and goes away far enough that she doesn't have to watch him die. Okay? And God says, and the baby's crying, and it says that God heard the baby. Interesting, that's his name, Ishmael, God hears. Hears him crying, says, Hagar, look up, I'm going to make a nation out of that boy. And she looks up, and there's a well has appeared in front of her of water, and she survives. Not forgotten by God, okay? Egyptian servant to the people group that God would raise up of Abraham and Sarah for his name's sake. She's kicked out of it. God goes out to the desert and says, I'm still here with you. I'm still advocating for you. It's a beautiful story. Moms are advocates because it's the nature of God to be an advocate. And that's one of the ways we can experience and see that playing out. Secondly, a mom is long-suffering. Okay? You moms know exactly what I'm talking about. With long suffering. How many of you know a mom who's been praying for years for one of their kids? Been praying for years for breakthrough in their life, that they would come to the Lord, that there would be a medical breakthrough, a healing for them, that they would not be estranged anymore but would return. Long suffering, praying, able to overlook much for their child. Oftentimes, a lot of the world will forget a person and kind of write them off, right? But a mom won't. A mom will continue to pray for, even if she can only do it from a distance, she will continue to pray for them, worry about them, try to connect with them when the rest of the world has said, forget it. I heard a really cool story this last week. A mom kind of in the local area here, and she, when she was pregnant with her son, she was told that he would be born stillborn. Okay, there were some complications and he would be born stillborn. I can imagine that she started praying at that point. And he was born prematurely. And when he was born, the doctor didn't exclaim, "It's a boy," because the most exciting thing was, "He's alive." That was the most exciting part. He was born alive. And he stayed there in intensive care in the hospital for a while. But eventually they realized, we need to send this baby home with his mom, and he's not eating on his own. And so they told the mom, take your baby home, love him well, and he's going to pass away soon because he's not eating. Well, you know the heart of a mom, she wasn't going to take that. And so she started researching. She started trying everything she could. And she found this one dairy, this one type of milk that the baby would take and eat. She told her doctors, and like, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to this one farm and getting this milk and just feeding it. And it wasn't something they would have recommended at all. And he said, whatever you're doing, don't change a thing. This is miraculous. Don't change a thing. Whatever you're doing is working. Because she was a mom, and she dug in. Okay? Now, that child grew up, but he had some things that needed continued care. And so he had to live with his mom and dad. And he's now 63 years old. Okay? This mom is in her 80s. And she's been caring for him for 63 years. Okay? Labor of love. Just loving her son. 63 years, guys. Imagine giving 63 years to that? A mom will do that. It's a beautiful story. What gives a mom so much strength to be able to do that? It's because there's that DNA, divine nature attribute in her of long suffering. And doesn't God have that for us? I know he does for me. His patience with me is incredible. And we see that come out in a mom. Check this out, what the writer of Hebrews tells us about Jesus, okay? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So here we see a long-suffering, an endurance, a patience with the deepest pain and separation that Jesus went through. But the way he endured it was because of the joy set before him, which is us, which is seeing a child reunited with his parents, with God. That was the joy that drove Jesus to be able to do what he did. That's actually a mother's heart that's being displayed through Jesus. It's pretty cool. It was Jesus that taught us in John, chapter is that, in case you want to look at it sometime. John 16, verse 21, where he's describing to his disciples how they're going to be really sorrowful when he goes away. And they're still not quite getting it all, but he's like, you're going to be sorrowful this day, but then joy will come when I return, okay? And they're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And he's like, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like a mom who has all this great pain in childbearing, okay? If you've ever witnessed a woman giving birth, there's a lot of pain involved, okay? And you moms are looking at me like, yeah, Jeff, you have no idea. But I have a little bit of an idea because I've been there for that several times. And then immediately, it's like one of the only instances you can think of in the human race where there's this intense pain, and then immediately, not just, oh, relief, it doesn't hurt anymore, but it's incredible joy. And here this baby's being set on their chest, and they're holding it, and they're smiling like nothing happened. And that's what Jesus says, is a mom forgets her pain the moment she realizes she brought a child into the world. Okay? Guys, we can't do that. I couldn't do that, okay? I would give birth to a baby, and then they'd want to set it on my chest, and I'd be like, I'm afraid I might hurt that child. He's caused me great pain. Give me a couple of weeks to sit on some ice and recover. Give the child to my wife. She can nurture it, and then I might be willing to talk to it again after 2 weeks. That's how a man would respond to childbirth. Okay? But not a woman. Okay? Because of that just that nature in her for her child, that connection to her child. A mom is long-suffering because Jesus, it's in his character. It's in the nature and character of God. Okay, lastly, and like I said, I'm only covering a few of the attributes that are displayed in a mom. But a mom is a teacher. Okay? A mom is a teacher of many things. Some of the simplest things starting out in life. To start with, oftentimes a mom is very involved in teaching their child how to walk, how to bathe, how to use the toilet, how to wipe. Come on. Mom, I'm done. I need you to wipe me. Moms in here have heard that before, and they're willing to teach you. It's amazing. Brushing your teeth, how to eat healthy, okay? This is the nature of God. Eat your vegetables. We don't like that. Maybe certain vegetables. Why does she do it? Just because she wants to make us miserable? No, because she wants us to be healthy. Sound like God? Does he ask us to do things that we think, why is God asking me to do this? This feels really hard, and this is going to make me miserable. No, it's going to bring you life and health. Okay? Mom is a teacher. Teaching you how to make friends and keep friends. The relational coach, like I told you. She teaches us through example all these things we're talking about endurance and long-suffering and being an advocate. And we see that play out. My mom passed on to me a really good lesson when I was about 9 years old. Okay? My mom passed away, and she had a wonderful relationship with Jesus, and I know she's with him. But she passed away about 5 years ago. When I was nine, my dad came home from work, and he was running a construction company. He came home from work kind of frantic, and he had realized during the day while he was at work that it was my mom's birthday that day, September 26th. And he huddled all of us together. We were home from school, and he's like, boys, I have two brothers, so it's us three boys. We got to pull something together before mom gets home from work. Let's do this. Okay, and we started taking our assignments. You know, somebody go out and try to find some flowers September 26th out in the woods, right, to make a bouquet. Got it. Make your homemade cards. Now, we always made homemade cards in our family, but this was a scribble it out really quick homemade card, you know, birthday card. My dad found something in the freezer to cook for dinner, and we had Oreo cookies ready for dessert. Okay? It's great if you really like Oreo cookies. So my mom gets home, and we put her through the motions, right? Also, we were supposed to wrap up something of our belongings for gifts, you know. So I, you know, go find one of my toys or something and wrap it up and give it to mom that I think she might like. And she kind of got that from my other brothers, and dad found something to wrap up and give to her that was already around the house. So we went through the whole thing, we ate dinner, and we sang happy birthday to my mom. And my dad played happy birthday on the piano, and he kind of messed that up and ate our Oreo cookies for dessert. And then my mom said something like this. Well, first off, we all finished, and it's kind of that moment of silence, and she folded her napkin and put it on the table in front of her, folded her arms and leaned it forward on the table. And I kind of talked with my dad about trying to remember the speech that we got, and it was something like this. For all these years, I've spent weeks planning each of your birthdays, ordering or shopping for special gifts, putting together decorations, a special meal requested by you, and the cake, always a theme with decorations or figures on it. I pour my heart into it, being a memorable moment for you. I hope I succeed in forgetting this day, but you won't. You have 2 weeks from today to redo my birthday. Put your heads together and see what you can do. And then she got up quietly, went into the kitchen, got a cup of tea, and retired to the bedroom with a book for the rest of the evening. Now, as a 9-year-old, I knew that we had blown it. You can imagine how my dad was feeling in that moment. Okay? We spent the next 2 weeks coming up with a birthday that she would never forget. And that set the template for birthdays for her and Mother's Days from then on. Now, when you hear that story, you may think, wow, that's pretty bold of my mom. Well, one, you got to know my mom. She gave sacrificially so much, okay? What she was teaching us in that moment was how to love well and how to honor. Now, she had showed us how to do it by honoring us and loving us. But a good teacher wants to see it then put into practice. That's the next step. And she saw that it was not being put into practice. And so she gave us that opportunity to actually do what we'd learned. The Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay? So the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. And when I think of a teacher and the type of teacher that a mom is, she teaches us all things. Okay? Whether it's how to use the bathroom or how to walk, or it's how to love well and how to honor somebody, how to have relationships. Okay? So those are the things that, it's the things you need for life that a mom teaches you. And that's exactly the heart of the Holy Spirit, if we'll let him, if we'll let him in, if we'll approach him in that way in the day-to-day of our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And that's a picture of moms. A mom is a teacher because the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And that comes out and comes through in the way that she teaches her children. So, this morning, you may be feeling like you need a redo for your mom. Maybe like we felt that evening at the birthday party for my mom. It's not too late. It's never too late. You may have a mom that you can't communicate with anymore because she's passed away. Or maybe she's just not someone you can just reach out to and have a conversation with. And there's all these different situations. I think God would still ask us to walk with him in what it looks like to honor a mom. I said it before, but one of the things that all these have in common, all three of these, being an advocate, long-suffering, being a teacher, they require time. And that's one of the things I think that blows me away the most when I observe a mom loving her children is the amount of time that she's willing to give to her kids. It challenges me. And I think that reflects God and the amount of time that he's willing to give to us if we'll step into it with him to raise us up and to teach us all things about life and living with him. So, in my situation with my mom being with Jesus, I wrote her a card that I'd love to read right now. And I'm highly confident that Jesus can figure out how to pass this message on to her. And so I'd just like to read that. Mom, it's been a long while since I've written you a card. But it's not because of a lack of thinking of you. I've been quite surprised, in fact, these 5 years since you were called home to heaven, just how regularly you come to mind. Just last week, as I was pulling up weeds in my garden with Star, I thought of you and some of the tricks you taught me, even about the ancient art of weed pulling, something even Adam and Eve had to figure out. Every time I look at the maple tree planted at the end of our fence, which is doing well, very well, by the way, or the rhubarb plant in the vegetable garden, the plum trees, descendants from Grandma's plum tree, or a dozen other plants in our yard that you gave to us. I think of you, Mom. Often, when I have my quiet times with God, I will sit in my vehicle parked in the church parking lot, facing the garden landscape that you fashioned and cared for so faithfully. Your beautiful touch still visible to many, and the pink dogwood is blooming fully right now. When life events happen in my family, the ones I know you would be there for, a graduation, a sports game, a fun trip, I think about how ready you were to jump in and experience life with us, even make life happen around us. When I was a boy, you were like that too. If there was something I was interested in, you did what you could to help me experience it, hands on. I love chickens, So he got me into 4-H and joined in with me, even helping me give my chickens baths to clean them up for the fair. You took me to swimming lessons. When I showed interest in gardening, you gave me my own piece of ground in the yard and let me grow whatever I wanted in it. Later in life, you even helped me build my house, and those reminders of you are all around me. I think of you when circumstances seem to be chipping away at me, when fatigue and stress and disappointment are closing in and tempting me to give up, to quit, to compromise. I don't, because you didn't. You and Dad example to me the value of hardworking endurance, a will that doesn't throw in the towel, and so I lean into God and journey forward, all the while thinking of you, Mom. So what I would want you to know, what I'm asking the Lord to pass on to you this morning, is that I still think of you regularly and the extraordinary love that God put in you for me. So profound that your effect on my life continues today. And in those moments when I think of you, your mother's heart, fashioned by God, it continues to comfort me, teach me, and encourage me. Thank you, Mom, for letting who God called you to be as a son, as a mom, touch my life so deeply. Love, your son.
Taking care of you.
Love. I think moms are best at love, loving on their kids.
I think moms are best at caring for their kids, helping them grow up and figure out who they are.
Putting Christmas stuff on doors.
Yeah, well, I think moms are amazing at just giving their hearts away constantly. And no matter what the situation, to just continue to show up and just continue to offer and continue to love, no matter where, you know, where our kids are.
Cleaning up and doing stuff that is hard, and sweeping and mopping and vacuuming.
What's hard about being a mom? Well, I would have difficulty, never having been a mom, I would have difficulty in responding to that. But it would be, the first phrase that comes to my mind is unconditional love.
So I think the hardest thing about being a mom is allowing your kids to fail, just being okay with watching them make poor choices, and knowing that it's going to be, that there'll be repercussions for them. That's a very, very painful thing to do, but yeah.
That they have so many kids and it's overwhelming for the moms.
Well, my mom always told me that the hardest thing was that her children reveal all of her mistakes, and show her all of the ways that she's prone to sinning and messing up. And we make fun of her a lot.
I would say to my mom, if I could, I love you, Mom, and thank you. Thank you so much for having loved me.
I want to say thank you for all that you have given me, for all the truth that you have imparted to me, and for teaching me about Jesus, and teaching me about love.
I love you, and I wish we could go on a fun date.
Well, I would just say, Mom, you are amazing. I just want all moms to know that, well done. Well done. You have given your love just the best way that you could, and you are loved for it.
All right. So as we close this morning, If you have in any way played the role of a mother, it might not have been giving birth to a baby, but if you've played the role of a mother in any way, could you stand up? I'd like to just have all of us kind of pray over you this morning and honor you. So let's just, if you could remain standing, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the display of your character, that you can be known through what you've made. You've told us that. And so, Lord, we honor, as you ask us to, we honor these moms this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that they would receive a special blessing from you in knowing that they are actually partnered with you in letting the world know what your character is like. God, I just pray that they would be able to shift focus from the areas where they feel like they've fallen short, where maybe their kids try to point that out. Just let that go in Jesus' name. And I pray that they would be able to receive the joy of knowing that it's wired into them to love like you love, and that they would feel celebrated today and honored today, Lord. And I pray that as they move forward, God, they would continue to be able to walk in a journey with you of allowing your divine nature attributes as special as a mom that only they have. And any other woman in here who has that in her, where however it comes out, Lord, would you draw that out of them by your Holy Spirit so that they can experience that joy of showing the world what you're like, Lord. So just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated, and we will see you next week, but there are special treats next door in the community center that some busy little children have been preparing all morning, and so go over there, hang out, enjoy some of that stuff before the teenagers eat it all, and we will see you. I hope you feel honored today, and like that last question said on the video, what would you say to your mom? What would God want you to share with your mom? Have you done it yet today? Walk with him in taking that step. All right, we'll see you. And all shame.